All right. Good morning, everybody. Little birdie whispered in my ear that it's time to sing some hymns, so our hymn sing time. Go ahead and raise your hand if you have a favorite hymn. Looks like Ron, we'll start with you. Page 381 in the hymnal, verses 1 and 4. Page 144. Any preference on verses? 1 and 3. 144, 1 and 3. This is my Father's world. Page 145, morning has broken. 1 and 3. 1 and 3. Or 1 and 3.
Raise toward the singing, raise
Yes. Let's see what. Well, we got plenty of time. 509. Okay. All right. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. We'll stick with 1 and 3. Still have time. Anybody have that favorite hymn? Now's your chance. Yes. 352. You can pick the verses, Lori.
No.
Finally.
We'll do, 1 and 3 again. I think that sounds good.
Okay, all right. Call it done. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everybody here this morning. If we have any visitors with you, we wish you a warm welcome. And for those of you out there in the pews, if you see a new face, please make them feel very warmly welcome this morning. Turning to our announcements today, first up is we do have the 2023 financial statements. They're on the table in the back of the church, so if you've not picked yours up, please do so today. We have the last Sunday in January, so this is our last opportunity to wish all our January birthdays happy birthday. And so happy birthday to our January birthdays. Also, we have new directories that are coming out. I believe, yes, they will be made available in the narthex when they're ready. Let's see, I don't know if there's any January newsletters, but I'm sure the February newsletter will be coming out and available next week. So please make sure you get a copy of that. Lots of good information. We have our free Saturday movies coming out on February 3rd is The Miracle Club. It will be the first offering in February. And then coming attractions in March is Ever After. And I have it on good authority that the Methodist Academy of Motion Pictures gives two thumbs up for both of these films. So please, please take advantage of this opportunity, and the price cannot be beat. Speaking of things that can't be beat, the next item is our Pastor's Luncheon, which will be coming up on February 14th. These are a wonderful opportunity for fellowship with your fellow parishioners, and a chance to have lunch with our pastor and see how things are going for him. So take advantage of that also. And as always, every month, we are the Cereal Church. And please bring your boxes of cereal, leave them in the back of the church, and those will be taken over to the local food pantry to assist those who are in need of food help. Also, just a reminder that Stephen Mickle is still looking for gently used clothing items to help him provide clothing to people who are leaving the county's correctional facilities. So that's a great ministry he's taken on, and help him out as much as we can. And also the Hearts Grow offering, which happens the second and fourth Sundays each month. And that occurs over next door in what we call the Children's Church. But children and those who are young at heart still have an opportunity to join in those that fellowship time. And is there any other announcements that need to be made? All right, very good. We'll move then to our call to worship, and you can find that on the screens in front of you, and please stand as you're able. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Of darkness be when this Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the lovely strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised.
At this time, please take a few moments to turn to your neighbor and greet them in the passing of the peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
All righty. We want to greet all those who have come to be with us for worship this morning. So glad to see you, Helen. Hello. And June and Joyce. Greetings to you and Mike and Carol. Hope that your coughings are improving. And we have one on iPad. Good morning to you. And April and Bill and George. We also have Alicia. Good morning, Alicia.
Before I pass the, I have a message from the Barwicks. They are going to be traveling tomorrow to go back up to Alaska for a while. Dale has a surgery date of January 20th, so keep him in prayer for that. Also, his cousin Randy that's in New York that's been battling brain cancer is home and is on hospice now, so keep that family in your prayer. And Dale also received some devastating news. That beautiful big garage that he built burned to the ground the other day, and his neighbors let them know, and their house is good, but this is just a devastating loss. All their vehicles and the tractor and everything were in it, so it's going to be a hard thing for him to go up there and deal with all that. So just keep that whole family in prayer. They're going through a lot of things right now. Thank you.
As we enter our times, I'm sorry, Deb will bring around the microphone to those of you who have joys or concerns you'd like to share.
Hallelujah. This might be a little difficult for me, so if you see me shedding a few tears up here, they're tears of gratitude. I've documented all the problems we've had trying to get her scheduled for her surgery at UCLA. Wednesday afternoon, she got a phone call. She is set for Monday, February 15th. Oh, 5th, excuse me, February 5th. See, I'm all messed up already. They said that she had to come in this past Friday, which was real short notice, to have the procedure that I call the torture chamber to measure her eye for the radiation pellet. They would just have enough time to get it here in time to place it in her eye on that Monday. I've gone with her every time up to UCLA, and this was the fourth time that she's had to go through the procedure. I won't give you the details, but I don't think I could do it. We were up there the last time, and we were checking out, and there was a guy there ahead of us who had just had that procedure. He looked like an NFL linebacker. That's how big he was, young and strong. And so the lady at the desk says, well, I'm going to schedule you for your next session, that'll be in 90 days. And I won't use the language that he did, but he was yelling at the top of his lungs, I'm never going to go through this again in my life. And she says, well, what about if you got eye cancer? He says, I don't care. I'm not going to do that again. I'm married to one tough lady right here. But this one did bother her the most of all. She's still got a sore eye, but we'll get through it. UCLA has a program that if you're there for surgery, and she's going to have the surgery on Monday, and the following day will be the follow-up, and they will fit her with a patch, a lead patch, because of the radiation. So we will be here next Sunday. The following Sunday, it'll probably just be me and Sophie, because she has to even stay isolated from Sophie and me. So she has to, after she gets out, she'll be riding in the back of the car. We'll be sleeping in separate rooms, and so I'll be bringing my guard dog with me the next two Sundays from now. So anyway, things are finally on the right track, and I just want to tell you how grateful we are for all the prayers, and don't stop now. Thank you.
That's wonderful news, and we thank God for all of it.
I think I forgot this part. UCLA has a program where you can, did I tell them this? No. They have a deal with local hotels where you get half price if you're a patient. Okay, half price is not cheap, but you're up there near Beverly Hills. But we're going to go up Sunday afternoon, check in. She'll be there because we don't know yet what her surgery time is. And then she has the next day, they're going to do some tests on her and fit her for her patch. So we're staying at least Sunday and Monday night there. Thank you.
Please continue to pray for my sister, Melissa Higginson, who has lupus. It was well controlled for many years by medication, but now she's suffering a lot of different issues that are arising from the lupus, and she's not in very good shape. So please pray for her. Also pray for my mom. My mom is starting to ask questions like, do you think it's possible that Melissa passes on before I do? And I say, Mom, you really need to, you know, address that as a definite possibility. And so it's tough on my mom, too, to know that her baby daughter may not, you know, outlive her. And so please pray for both Melissa and my mom, Darlene. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judy Salveson, and I have a joy.
Another grandson?
Good Lord. No, on December 22nd, my first and only grandson was born, and the mother had a very, problematic pregnancy, because of her age and other problems. And so she was getting ultrasounds, and in the ultrasound that they found out that the baby only had one kidney that was working. And so they were hoping by the time he was born that it would, and it didn't. So he was going to have surgery at 6 months. But at his two-week checkup, I guess they gave him an MRI, and on his one-month checkup, they got the results, and that kidney, it's not 100%, but it is flowing with urine, and so maybe with nice. A little maturity, it will be 100%.
Very nice.
You can always live with one, but two is better, so yeah. It is a joy.
That's great.
Hi, I'm Teresa. Pastor Phillips recommended I mention this to everyone. If you have anyone or know of anyone that has just a simple room to rent, my parents have been in Yucaipa for 28 or 30 years now. Last October, I moved them from their home on Fremont Street to Golden Oaks, a senior citizen independent living place on Oak Glen. So they're fine. But I'm out here from Connecticut, and I just drive out with a carload of belongings, and I just need a room to rent where I have been renting for 9 years. The lady has already sold her house, and she needs to be out by next Sunday. She thought she had a whole month to find something else for both of us. So I'm kind of going off on my own now to try and find a simple room. I'm gone early in the morning, and I don't come back till late at night. I'm either at my parents' or working. I have a very high credit rating. I hate to get into details, like 823. I'm financially okay, master's degree, don't drink, don't smoke. My brother's a deacon, and my sister-in-law works for a bishop back in Connecticut, and I just appreciate anybody hunting because the time is ticking. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you, Deb.
I'm Pat Shores. I had a call yesterday from a friend of mine. I've known her since seventh grade. She was quite upset. Her husband has recently had four of his toes taken off, but then the other day he had a heart attack, and he's back in the hospital, and she's quite worried about him. So his name is Yuha. If you could pray for him, I'd appreciate it.
And I'd like to ask you to all keep Jean Jackson in your prayers, too. She fell, and she's at her daughter's house, and it's not an easy thing to get a hold of her by phone, but please send her cards because she needs to know we love her.
Before we go to the one on Zoom, I have a good news, too. I plan to install two TVs, outdoor TVs, replace our existing sign, and then put another one in the corner of Adams and Acacia, delayed it for 3 years. I have many different new projects coming up. Dale and I finally installed one right here, replaced the one on our marquee. So go by and see it. We are not running it right now, but we'll be running from this week. Tim's been sending me a lot of funny phrases, and we put them in there to try to get some attention from folks who's passing by. And hopefully that'll attract some people and bring more to our church. So,
anyone on Zoom have a prayer request? Please raise your hand and unmute.
If not, before we go into the time of prayer, I'd like to pray for Lauren before she goes to have a surgery, okay? And then also for Dale. We'll pray together for Dale and all those people that we need to lift up our prayers. So, Colin, if you don't mind, would you play God is so good? He's so good to me. Can you do that prompt? Impromptu? You know the song, God is so good, right?
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He loves you so.
He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
You are an awesome God, O Lord. You are the powerful God. You are our healer. You are our creator. There's nothing that you cannot do. You use your Holy Spirit to reach out deep within, and you can heal our brokenness within our soul. You can heal our past. You can heal our body. You can heal our life. So, Lord, we come to you as we acknowledge our brokenness and ask you to surround Lauren with your Holy Spirit and reach deep within her and touch your eye that she may receive your healing as you use the hands of the doctors and nurses. We pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be present in that surgery room, that you will use them to perform the perfect surgery, that you will use them as an instrument of your healing. So grant your healing unto her, that all the cancerous elements may be gone, may disappear, may be cured, that she may have wonderful and perfect eyesight again. So, Lord, we claim your power of your Holy Spirit unto her, unto her eyes and unto her body, and manifest your power unto her, the power of your healing. Lord Jesus, we ask you to surround Dale and Dinar and give them the comfort they need, that they may be able to go through this process and receive your guidance, that they may receive your love and your care, so that, oh Lord, they don't have to deal with this disastrous situation by themselves, but with you, they will be able to handle it. So, Lord, be with them and give them the assurance of your presence in their life. And all those people that we have in our hearts, oh Lord, we lift our prayers for them unto you. We ask you to reach out unto them individually. Let them know that you are there for them, that you have all the answers that they ask for. So, Lord, we come together as one community of faith. As we love each other, we care for one another, we ask you to surround each and every one of us that we may experience your love, your healing presence, your protection, your guidance, your sustaining grace upon our life today. Acknowledging that you are in our life, you hold everything under your control, we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we remain in an attitude of prayer, please join with me in the unison prayer. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to see for rest, to labor and know to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lorraine, the girl who sang the storm away. Written by Ketch Secor, illustrated by Higgins Bond. On a Tennessee farm where the music grows wild, lived a pitchforkin' pawpaw and his fearless grandchild. Snakes didn't scare her, and neither did spiders. Lorraine had a cartload of courage inside her. Oh, the ruckus they raised when the workday grew dark, with Lorraine on her whistle and Papa on his harp. The songs that they sang always lifted their spirits. On good days or bad, it was joyful to hear it. And even when storms hit those Tennessee hills, the music they played made their worries stand still. One morning, they played neath the chinky-pin tree, when by jingo, a crow landed right at their feet. "Look, Papa, he dances. Let's play it again." Well, by the last chorus, she'd found a true friend. But one day at breakfast, Lorraine thought, "That's weird." The bright, shiny brass dinner bell had disappeared. And out in the pig pen, she noticed something strange. The tin scoop was missing from the bin full of grain. Then the keys simply vanished from poor Pawpaw's pocket. When he went to the barn gate, he couldn't unlock it. Soon all of the shiniest things in the place were gone, pinched, lifted, without any trace. "It's a thief," said Lorraine, "and he's gone on a spree." "By gum," wondered Pawpaw, "just who could it be?" One drizzly night, as the whole farm lay sleeping, a frightening sound started rolling and creeping. While rain lightly pattered, the wind began lashing, and a Tennessee tempest came crashing and bashing. Boom! Roar! Drum-a-rum-rum! Crash! Bash! Rat-a-tum-tum! "Oh, Papa, the storm must be right overhead. I'm fearful, I'm frightened, I'm all full of dread. There's only one way we can ride out this thunder. I'll go get my whistle. Let's knock out a number." So Papa reached in where his French harp was kept. "By gum," he said, "I've been harmonica napped." Then Lorraine looked around, but her eyes filled with tears. "My penny whistle's gone. I've had it 9 years." But old smiling Papa, he hugged her in tight. "Now listen, Lorraine, we'll get through this night. See, a twister can frighten with whirling black wind, and a rainstorm makes landslides and flash floods begin. A tempest could tear this whole home place apart, but it can't touch the music that's deep in your heart." "Child, you always made music when you were afraid, and sadly, your instrument's stolen away. But who needs a whistle or some shiny thing when you've got a voice and a song you can sing?" Then out from her room she courageously crept. "Oh, Papa, you're right. No, we're sure not licked yet." Then Lorraine sang up high, and old Papa sang low. They stomped and they stamped with a big do-si-do, singing "Fire on the Mountain" and "Pig in the Pen," "Shortening Bread," "Shout Lula," "Geese in the Glen." Oh, they sang and they shouted till the first light of day, and their song chased that storm and their worries away. Quick from the window came Pawpaw's voice calling, "The chinky-pin tree in the front yard has fallen." "Look," stuttered Pawpaw, "do you see what's inside?" "Everything missing," said Lorraine with surprise. For deep in the heart of the smoldering tree lay a trove full of treasures that shine silvery. Pawpaw reached into the dark hiding place, and a smile lit up his weathered old face, for tucked in the hollow, stuffed with weeds, straw, and thistle, he found his French harp and Lorraine's penny whistle. They broke into song with their hearts all aglow, when "caw, caw, caw" came the voice of the crow. He was perched on the stump of the old chinky pin, dancing a jig with a mischievous grin. How their happy eyes shone as they danced to the tune, and they planted a chinky pin seedling to bloom. Then the clouds parted ways as the music rose high and the sunshine sparkled in the Tennessee sky. The end. There's nothing like music that connects us to God and brings joy to our hearts. Psalm 91:6 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." But it's also amazing to me that God sings over us. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So may we always sing to the Lord and rejoice and be thankful for all he has given us. Amen.
And on that note, we have our chance to sing to the Lord. So our next hymn is I Belong to the King.
A child of his love, I shall dwell in his palace so fair. For he tells of his bliss in new heaven above, and his children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsakes his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. I belong to the King, and he loves me, I know, for his mercy and kindness so free. And sing me the man whatsoever I go, and my refuge and single is he. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsaketh his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. I belong to the King, and his promise is sure that we all shall be gathered at last. In his kingdom above, I've lived life for so pure, when this life with its trials of his curse. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsaketh his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne.
Our scripture this morning will come from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Turn away from listening. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in this beautiful sanctuary, and all those who have come to join us via Zoom. I extend warm welcomes to each and every one of you, wherever you are. And I pray that we will all experience God's presence in our life this morning and listen to God's voice through the message that He has prepared for us. A joke that I'm about to hear, there's no hidden agenda for some of you who may have a Catholic background. A nun, Sister Margaret, went to heaven only to be told by Saint Peter that there was a waiting list. "Go home and relax," suggested Saint Peter. "Call me in a week and I'll let you know whether your accommodation is ready." The following week, she phoned and said, "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. I had my first ever cigarette yesterday. Will it affect my chances of getting into heaven?" "I'm sure it won't," said St. Peter. "But your room still isn't ready yet. Call me in a week." A week later, she calls again. "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. I had my first ever alcoholic drink yesterday. Will it affect my chances of getting into heaven?" "I'm sure it won't," said St. Peter. "But your room still isn't ready. Call me in 3 days. 3 days later, she rings again. "Peter, this is Margaret. I have a confession to make. Last night, I kissed a man for the first time. Do you think it'll wreck my chances of getting into heaven?" "I shouldn't think so," said St. Peter. "But give me a ring tomorrow. By then, I'll have checked it out with the boss man, and I'll know about your accommodation." The next day, she phones again. "Pete, it's Mac." "Forget about the room." We don't know what happened to her. Can we plan or even delay the day of our departure as we wish? Our departure time belongs to God's realm, and it's not up to us to decide. I sometimes cannot help but ponder when my departure will be. Paul's second letter to Timothy explains when we will leave this planet. Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament, and the second letter to Timothy is considered to be the last one Paul wrote before his death. To understand Paul's final writing better, let us look at Paul's timeline from his arrest in Jerusalem to his death in Rome. We learned last Sunday that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem around 55 AD and had a chance to be released, but he appeals to stand in Caesar's court. Paul was a Roman citizen, and Nero was enthroned a year before Paul's arrest. Paul probably heard who the emperor was, but would not have known Nero on a full scale. Nero, at the beginning, did some honorable things, believe it or not. For example, he removed secret trials and capital punishment, lowered taxes, and allowed slaves to sue unjust owners. But Nero had a dark side. He sent assassins to kill his own mother in 59 AD. Paul arrived in Rome around 60 AD, a year before his mother's death, and he was placed under house arrest. Thankfully, Paul was able to preach the gospel at the rented house for 2 years. Paul was released from imprisonment for several years afterwards. In the meantime, the great fire instigated by Nero, broke out in Rome in 64 AD, and the persecution of Christians started shortly after. The unfortunate timing of Paul's arrest during the Nero's reign, Nero's setting fire in Rome, and Nero's Christian persecution did not leave any chance to prove Paul's innocence in Nero's court. Scholars say that Paul wrote 2 Timothy between 64 and 65 AD, which means Paul wrote the letter after the great fire broke out and the persecution began. Did Paul know that he was reaching his end when he wrote the letter? Apparently, he kind of sensed it, and he did know. Verses 6 and 7 serve as proof that Paul knew his departure. Paul said, "I am already being poured out like libation." That's the translation that the New NRSV used. And it's the libation is a drink offering. "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." Paul's words were clearly predicting his imminent death. Paul was imprisoned a second time in Rome around 66 AD and was executed 1 year later in 67. He was 62 years old when he suffered martyrdom. What the most remarkable thing for Paul was, despite that he was in prison, despite that he did not have any chance to walk away from the tyrant, despite he knew his end was near, nothing could discourage him from preaching the gospel. Why was Paul so courageous? Because to Paul, his death was secondary. Building the kingdom of God was the primary goal, and that building the kingdom of God needed to continue beyond his death. Note how Paul began chapter 4. "I give you, Timothy, this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage." If I paraphrase this, Paul was exhorting Timothy, saying, "I'm going to go to my eternal home, but Timothy, you need to continue and build and strengthen Christ's churches." Verses 6 and 7 hint what's involved in the timing of our departure. Can we know when our departure will take place, as Paul did? We do not know precisely in what year, but Paul said, "We will depart when we pour out to the Lord everything we have, like a drink offering." In today's term, a drink offering is a bottomed-up cup in which there is no drink left. Jesus offered himself as the drink offering. He gave everything he had for our salvation, with no drop of his blood left in his cup. The timing of our departure will be like that. We will leave when we exhaust everything and fulfill our mission from God in the world. That is our mission from God in this world. But God's mission needed to be continued, even after we go. God's mission needed to be, God's kingdom needed to be built regardless our cause, even death. Therefore, our focus should not be so much on our how long we can serve God, but on how the ministry of Jesus can continue after we are gone. Asking how long we can serve God can be constructive when we relate the question to ministry. Considering the average lifespan during Jesus' time was between 30 and 35 years, Paul lived a long life. The 12 disciples, except James, who suffered martyrdom shortly after Jesus' ascension, lived longer than Paul did. Most of the disciples suffered martyrdom, but their average age was 75 years of age. The disciple John lived up to 98 years and died a natural death. Our lifespan will be longer than that of Paul and most of the disciples. Life expectancy in the U.S. in 1900 was about 47 and 67 in 1950. Today's life expectancy in the U.S. is 80 years and continue to rise thanks to improved health care and medical science. The baby boomers will enjoy about 25 years of retirement on average. Many retirees in good health enjoy longer, and centenarians are becoming more common. You know Ed Elliott at our church. He lived to be 106, and in my opinion, he was the oldest Methodist member in the entire world. I might be wrong, but that's how I guess, what I'm guessing. I believe some or many of you in Yucaipa will break his record. Statistics predict that by the end of this century, the maximum human lifespan could reach 130 years. The United Nations estimates that by 2100, we'll be all gone by then, there will be 25 million centenarians globally. 25 million centenarians. Increased lifespan gives us insight into a particular age group our church can reach. Although our church does not have children and has few youth, we are good at serving the older age group, which has actual potential for growth for our church. Note what J2T Financial Recruiting posts on its web. It says, boomers, baby boomers, make up nearly one-third of the total United States population, making them one of the largest living adult generations, second to millennials. 10,000 baby boomers reach retirement age every day. I don't know exactly if the 10,000 baby boomers retire every day, but that's actually the number. The youngest boomers will reach full retirement age in 2031. And you know what that means? At that point, there will be around 75 million people living in the United States over the age of 65. Drawing on Social Security, of course. Social Security has problems. You know what that means? That's the good news for us. There are 75 million people just like us. We can reach out and fill this sanctuary. Is it possible? I believe so. Our church has received close to 60 new members for the last 8 years, and we are welcoming more today. Most of the new members are in the older age group, and we can continue to grow by serving the baby boomers generation. Based on the increased lifespan and projected growth in the retired population that remains strong and healthy, I think we all need to redefine our age, because, you know, there will be more older folks out there on the street. How are we going to redefine? This is my idea. People in their 60s should be regarded as very young. Very young. Those who are in their 70s are considered younger. 80s, in their 80s, young. 90s, older. Only when people reach 100, then they can be regarded as old. I have a question, okay? If any of you worshiping here, if you are below 60, raise your hand. Wow. Wow, we have more than several. You know who you are? You guys are just babies. We need to send you guys to the nursery we have. But that's our new reality, and that's the good news for us, for us like an aging congregation. I mean, we say we have already served the Lord for many years. We have done this and done that. We have everything to serve the church and serve the people of God. But our retirement does not mean the finish line. To translate our service as a drink offering, we have offered only a portion of our cup. We are still young and have much more and longer to offer and build Christ's church. And more importantly, there are plenty of retirees we can reach out to and serve. And the ministry of Christ's church must continue onto the second finish line. We think that, you know, the finish line we have, that's the time of our departure, and that's it, no more. We should not care anymore after that. But there is a second finish line that we all should be mindful of, and that is the Christ return to this earth. We want to build this church so that this church can last until He comes back here on earth. Paul is our role model for serving the Lord. He showed us that we serve God to our finish line. That is our first finish line. But we should be intentional about extending the ministry of Jesus today so that this church can remain onto the second finish line. During his 1960 presidential campaign, Robert F. Kennedy often closed his speeches with a story of Cornell Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. I mean, some of you who are older may have heard of this story. One day in 1789, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives, glancing out the window, feared the end was at hand. Quelling the clamor for immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. So get busy. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought. We will surely serve the Lord until we reach our finish line. But the ministry of our church should continue until the second and ultimate finish line. May we serve the Lord in such a way that this house of faith continues beyond our finish line and is preserved until the day of his return. Amen. We are going to welcome new members at this point. And we haven't gotten all the liturgical part of it on the screen, but you just follow my direction, and we will be able to handle it without any issue. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through a sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Now, I'd like to call upon each of you who is joining our church today. Please come forward. Kenny, Marion. We have two Marys, Mary Miller and Mary Dean, please come. And Dan, would you come? And Gina, would you come? Spoh, are you ready to be a member?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward, sir. We'll make you a member. If you have heard Spoh, he's a preacher. He at least sounds like a preacher. All righty. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you can answer like three of them by saying I do. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Thank you. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Thank you. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask you now, and you can answer by saying I will. Will you nurture these people in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Thank you. I'm going to ask you now, and you can answer this question by saying I will. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Thank you. Thank you. I have one more question. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry? And you can answer this by saying, I will. Thank you. And I'm going to ask all of you again. Members of the household of God, is that though? Yeah, great, thank you. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith and confirm their hope and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Amen. Yes, let's welcome them. And I'm going to grab the microphone. No, actually, can you use the microphone right here in front? Would like to get to know just a little bit here. If you would, just tell us your name and then maybe a little bit about you. No? Yes? Marion.
Marion Ruffner.
You were here. You came here some time ago, right?
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I moved here to Ukaipa in 05.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you were attending this church some years ago.
Around the time that they were having the anniversary, the 100. Yeah.
All right.
And do then, you remember which year that was?
I wasn't there. Some of you remember. Some of you remember Marion, who was coming to us then. Welcome, Marion.
Thank you.
Dan.
I'm Dan Anderson. I've been coming here for 6 months. Around a year.
Or longer.
6 months. And I enjoy the church here, and I believe in God, so here I am.
Great. Dan has a son in Japan right now. He's passionate about the gospel and passionate about the ministry, and he's planning to come and visit us in the summer.
Yes, he will.
And we want to have him lead our service when he's here. So I'm looking forward to.
We're going to try.
Looking forward to meeting his son. Wonderful. Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary Miller. I'm a native to the Inland Empire, but I moved away and I came back and moved here to Ukaipa 4 years ago. At Marion's invitation, I'm here. I love it here.
Right.
So, is that enough?
Yeah, you've been looking for a home church?
I have been looking for a church, yes. But I wanted to sing. And Marion said, well, we've got a choir.
good job, Marion. Very good job.
So I did sing it. And I sing every week. I love singing.
Right. We love having you here,
thank
Mary.
You.
And we have another Mary. You know, by the way, this will make three Marys here at our church. Mary, go ahead.
I'm Mary Deem. I live in Kella Mesa. I grew up in the Methodist Church in Los Angeles, so I'm glad to be back.
Yes. Welcome home, Mary. Come home. All righty. So let's see if this can extend to where you are. Go ahead. Kenny?
I'm Kenny Lingle. I'm from long ago in a galaxy far away. But I grew up in the Free Methodist, Nazarene, you know, churches, and moved here 6 months ago about. But this is a beautiful church. I visited here several years ago, and I love it, you know. You all are just a wonderful group of people. My son, who is a devout Catholic, told me that Pastor Phillips is a very holy man. So there he is. So I'm here. Yeah, I'm here, and you're stuck with me.
Kenny's son Jimmy, I went to see him when he was in the hospital, and then he led a prayer. He prayed like Jimmy prayed like a Catholic priest. I was so impressed.
Hi, I'm Gina Genovese. This is Spo. We came here from Los Angeles about not quite 3 years ago. And although I was brought up Catholic, we actually participated at the Methodist Church in Palos Verdes, where we came from, and we loved it. So I started looking for a church here. My mom actually passed, and she was Baptist. Pardon me. But we started looking for a church, and we went to a Baptist church nearby. And we just didn't get that feeling, you know, like you get here. So we're really blessed, glad to be here. And I'm crying because I lost my mom, but I'm actually happy to be here.
Good morning. God bless you, by the way. We actually came about almost 8 years ago, or could be longer. My sister-in-law and her engineer's brother moved, she retired and then moved up here and purchased a home up in Oakland up here. And we grew up down by San Pedro, Carson area, by the water down there. And it's a busy life down there. I still work in the oil field down there. But again, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. And when we visit up here, and I saw my brother-in-law and sister, I mean my brother-in-law and sister's house, it was like God's country, you know? So I said, we said to each other, we have to move up here. So it's been over 2 years and almost 3 years we've relocated up here. I still commute to Los Angeles to work, but the peace of mind is this church, the folks, of course, pastor and sister in the back, you know, they all welcome us when also brothers in here and sisters that welcome us. But sometime in a person's life, you know, God the Spirit tells you each and every day, you got to move, you got to do something with what I've given you. And if you don't move, sometime God is going to make that move for you.
Amen, brother.
Well, this move is God's move, you know, because we all have a calling in our life, like the pastor minister to us in our spirit each week. But I have my own, I have to fulfill. So thank you for welcoming us. Again, it's all about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God bless you and your families. And thank you for welcoming us.
Amen.
Because we really love it here.
Absolutely. We love having you too.
Thank you, Pastor.
We had a beautiful service for Gina's mom here at our church. And I never met her, but I saw the picture. She was absolutely a beautiful lady. Gina prepared all the funeral details and had a wonderful the memorial in here. So that was how we got to have Gina. And she's a neighbor to Lois Crosby. She lives right across from her. So
they just sold the house. We're getting new neighbors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, anyway, let's give them a round of applause and welcome them. And thank you. Thank you all. God bless you.
Thank
just add my own welcomes to all of our new members. This is fantastic. At this time, during our time presenting our tithes and offerings, just a reminder that if you brought your offerings today, you may leave them in the plate at the back of the church. You can also drop them off or mail them into the church. And at this time, we'll hear from Laurie.
Worship different ways. We may praise Him and yet spend all of our days living life divided. But when we seek Him with open hearts, He removes the walls we've built that keep us apart. We trust Him to unite us. In our hearts, we're undivided, worshiping one Savior, one Lord. In our hearts, we're undivided, bound by His Spirit forevermore. Undivided. It doesn't matter if we agree. All He asks is that we serve Him faithfully and love as He first loved us. He made us in His image, and in His eyes we are all the same. And though our methods may be different, Jesus is the bond that will remain. In our hearts, we're undivided, worshiping one Savior, one Lord. In our hearts, we're undivided, bound by His Spirit forevermore. In our hearts, we're undivided, worshiping one Savior, one Lord. In our hearts, we're undivided, bound by His Spirit.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creature He below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gift. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of life. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
For the countless blessings you have bestowed upon us, for the unconditional love that you have bestowed upon us, for your sustaining presence and your grace that you have given unto us. We give you thanks and bless you, O Lord. Ask your blessing upon this thankful offering, that it may be used to build your church here in Yucaipar and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you'd please remain standing for our closing hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
Of suffering and shame, and all the cross for a world the lost in us was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. What was on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Sharon Kelsey received a valve in her heart replacement surgery on Friday, and everything went well. She was doing wonderfully. She had a surgery in the morning, and then she ate, she walked, and I think she's home, right? She came home yesterday. So thanks for your prayers, and we want to continue to pray for the continual healing and recovery. Becky King is traveling down in south, Costa Rica. She said the weather is beautiful, everything beautiful down there. We envy her, and we want to pray for God's traveling mercies upon her. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessing that we all have received this morning through the communion of your Holy Spirit, through the fellowship of your saints, through the messages that you have spoken unto us. As we are about to leave this beautiful place of worship, we recommit ourselves to be the disciples that you want us to be unto the very day of our departure, and would give our best so that the ministry of this church may continue for many, many decades and many centuries even unto the very day of your return. So, Lord, bless what we do individually and as a church. Send us forth, therefore, with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Strong and true, oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love, sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see.
Yeah.